Hello, Erica Kay here, producer of our podcast, back from behind the scenes to bring you the final edition of Be Bullish with Alex Ely for 2021. Today, Alex will put the shoe on the other foot and serve as our guest as he and longtime investment specialist on the team, Jane Fisher, discuss the year in review and the four themes they're looking toward as we have 2022 in our sights. So Alex and Jane, welcome.
Hi, Erica.
Hi, Erica. Thank you. Good to be on again.
So this is really crazy when we think about it. Our podcast launched late in the first quarter of this year. Some days I feel like that was yesterday, and other days I feel like it was a total lifetime ago. Through the pandemic, time has just seemed to merge into one giant abyss for me, I think personally. But through this year, one thing that has given me hope and light at the end of the tunnel, Alex, is your consistent optimism. Your consistent optimism on the markets. Why is that?
Well, first off, I'd mention the fact that we've been bullish and constructive on the markets now for years. So this isn't something new for 2021 or for 2022. We're at a period of history where the disruptions within many industries, where better, cheaper, faster ways of doing things have come along. And when this happens and when these trends run deep, you see a long secular migration to the new ways of doing things because of the efficiencies they provide or the productivity gains that can be garnered. And, I mean, look at what we're doing in banking and e-commerce and virtual healthcare and all of our content. All of our currency, it's just incredible, huge markets that are undergoing transformation in many cases to digitalized ways of doing things. And so therefore, because of these efficiencies, we see the creative destruction process continuing, and that builds value, that creates alpha within the system if you're invested in the leaders of those companies. So we see us in a great position to continue to rally really throughout the decade. If you look at we're about 19 months into a new bull market, 19 months into a new economic cycle. The previous bull markets and economic cycles have lasted 8 to 9 years on average. So that's where I think we are. This has been generational. It happened in the 20s. It happened in the 60s. It happened in the 90s. And it's happening again because of where we are in history and where the technological adoption rates are. So really just an exciting time to be an investor and to see things expand. That doesn't mean we're always in favor, always in style. The market will typically rotate between large and small or value or growth or earnings or no earnings or what have you. And you can't predict that. But the general pace, the general direction has been up, and we think it'll continue to be up going forward.
I think we can say this year that the team is certainly sponsored by the letter D, and that's a big capital D for disruptions. As far as we look at the progress of the year. Let's break this down a little bit further. So you've mentioned this week, as we've discussed 2022 with advisors and with the media, that there are four themes that you're all looking at from a macro level right now. Can you both discuss these a bit? I think we'll start with you, Jane.
Sure, I'd be happy to jump in. Just reflecting on what Alex just said, you know, we really look to history and focus on the long term. And it's why we're looking for these massive disruptions in the market that are going to last for years and years. We often say, you know, there will be wiggles in the market. We're not smart enough to predict them and sell in advance, buy everything back, you know, several months later. So it gives us, I guess, calm in what we do, because we are investing in kind of the sexiest areas of the market. So by focusing on the long term and trying to find these disruptions that will play out over time, it makes our job easier. One of the questions that we get with great frequency is the concern of the day. And one of those concerns that we kind of get asked on every call is, what about inflation? Are we going to go back to a period of time like the 70s with rampant inflation? And what does that mean for the markets? We just hosted a media day with reporters on Monday. So Alex, I'm just going to kick it back over to you, because I know this is something that you speak about almost every day.
Sure. Inflation is all the buzz in the business media about what's happening, what's going on. And certainly the Fed has transitioned as of late in respect to the way they look at inflation. Chairman Powell had been calling it, or Federal Reserve Chairman Powell had been calling it transitory for most of the year, basically meaning that prices had gone up due to certain shortages and that they would come back down. He's changed his tune to some degree. He's removed the transitory language. He's now talking about raising rates three times in 2022, as opposed to twice by the end of 2023. So he's moved up the pace that they're doing in terms of taking away the free money that's out there. Now, a lot of investors worry and look at the Fed constantly for clues as to what to do in their investing. The old adage is to not fight the Fed. And so therefore, this has been very much in the news. And inflation, if you do get rampant inflation, can be difficult, because when there's lots of inflation, companies can't make the plans the way they normally can. You have less visibility on the future, and therefore that causes less confidence and compression on equity prices, which has resulted in the corrective activity that we've had in the markets over the last few weeks. For our team, the way we look at it is, yes, there is some inflation in the system, and the inflation when it comes to labor will be pretty sticky. But we do see lots of other areas of the market which will get settled. As supply chain issues dissipate, we should see the delivery of goods improve from where they are today. As an example, I went to buy a car the other day, and they told me it was going to take 6 months to get the car that I wanted. That's just incredible, as opposed to the old ways where they had lots of cars available. I promise to you that the automobile industry is hard at work at being able to deliver and create new cars. It just takes time for them to improve that supply chain part. And when they do, we'll start to see inflation issues settle down, and we'll start to see it be a better universe in terms of visibility for the markets, and we'll see equities expand again. So that's how we feel. But even if we're wrong, what you really want to look at is just rates. Rates on the 10-year T-bond are currently 1.47%. So that's indicating to you that long-term bond investors aren't seeing massive inflation. And as long as those rates are under control, we don't feel that inflation is as much of a threat as people make it out to be. But even if we are wrong and treasuries do go up, if you look at the previous six worst returns for T-bonds over the last 40 years, in each of the cases, the S&P was up and the major growth indices were up. So even with this all, this correlation between rates and exactly where equities will be hasn't drawn to be 100% correlated in the past. So therefore, we look at it, we watch it. And of course, we understand investors' concerns, because it has been an issue in the past. But we think at the end of the day, there won't be rampant inflation, and equities are still a safe place to invest.
I think many people, especially coming into the holidays, have been really concerned, you know, will the stores be empty? Will I be able to get my holiday presents? To your point, I think we have these pockets of supply chain issues, whether it be due to chips or what have you. If I had a brain in my head, I would get off my duff and sell the Jeep that I have in the garage, because you can't get used cars. To your point, Alex, I don't think, you know, that level of, you know, increase will last forever. It just can't. But I guess the question that we do get often is, will the supply chain ever be fixed? And it runs across many different areas. I mean, there's a cream cheese shortage right now. Who would have thought? Even, you know, Christmas trees. My kids came home from college and told me that my tree was lame. I did the best I could. Honestly, it was the best one that I could find. And I haven't found actually too much difficulty in holiday shopping or finding a lot of the other things. So aside from several of these pockets where there seems to be problems, you know, as an investment team, we always say too much demand is not a problem. You know, supply will resolve itself. So we're not overly concerned, but Alex, back to you on that.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. In fact, with many retail goods, we've actually seen a supply chain issues already be resolved. But chips and other areas of technology are really seeing backups that will go out at least into 2023. So these supply chain issues are with us, but we see them dissipating throughout the year. We see more and more things coming back to normal. Imagine if you're running a cruise line, how difficult it is to get all the people to come back and hire them and train them and get things going and make the bookings and set sail again. It's just not as smooth as people might have hoped. It's not as smooth as I might have hoped in terms of understanding how long the after effects of the pandemic will be with us. But you're absolutely correct. Eventually supply will find a way, and we're confident that it'll do so. We just don't get caught up in 1 month, one quarter, even 1 year issues like that. We focus on the long run.
I think, especially at my house, the supply chain has not affected Santa's workshop. I think I wish that it may have. Might have allowed me to finish my wrapping a whole lot sooner. But Alex, you mentioned it, and I think Jane, you did as well. You know, we covered inflation, certainly theme number one. We covered supply chain, theme number two. And I don't think this next topic was skipped at all this year, Alex, especially at the top of each episode when you offered your overall thoughts on the past week, and that is the pandemic. So, you know, what will this go on forever? What are we looking at here as we see variant after variant seemingly come down the pike?
Well, it certainly has people concerned with the Omicron variant already shutting down flights to many countries in Africa, disrupting, you know, basically travel for a lot of different people, thousands of people, and then increasing cases in different areas of the United States. We're seeing a spike here in Connecticut and in New York. The Northeast is starting to see a movement up. So even though in areas where you have higher vaccination rates, we're still seeing these sort of bumps from each variant that comes. Variants, it looks like, are coming from areas where there's less vaccination and lots of crowds. The Delta variant coming from India, the Omicron variant coming from Africa. And that's really difficult because it's unlikely that you're ever going to get everyone vaccinated, especially since there's a lot of people that don't want to be vaccinated. So I do think that this is something that it could morph into something like the flu, where we're getting booster shots every year to the extent that we can and we have the science to do so. Or, you know, we could be optimistic and say that this is typically how viruses die out. They get more infective, they become more viral, and they affect more people. And then eventually you get to a herd immunity level where there's not enough hosts to contain the virus, and therefore it peters out. So I'm hopeful for the latter. The former is definitely possible, but I think that 2022 will be better than 2021, and 2023 will be better than 2022. So I see it improving, just slower than we hoped.
Alex, I agree on that. I mean, the reality is this is scary. I mean, when this all hit in 2020, myself included, we thought, all right, 2 weeks, we'll be through this. Kids will go back to school. We'll all go back to the office. It's like the flu. What's the big deal? And I still wake up some days and wonder, like, was this just a bad dream? Did this really happen? So it's a bummer. I feel like we take two steps forward and then one step back. As Alex mentioned, you know, there's a spike in cases where I live, New York. I was supposed to bring the grandparents into the city to see my son. And he was like, whoa, no, stay home. You know, there's lines to get COVID testing. He's planning to leave the city for a period of time just to kind of hopefully, you know, keep his head down and let it blow over. So, you know, but there are reasons to be optimistic. I feel like we've come together as a world to combat this. The healthcare companies have come to the rescue with vaccinations, and we're all doing our best to get through this. So while it's frustrating and while I feel like we keep hoping that this will be over and behind us, you know, it is something that we're going to have to live with. And the way that we work, if we commute, the way that we spend our leisure time. So I think we're all just kind of living day to day and adjusting and figuring out what life is going to look like on the other side of this.
Yeah. And that's really it. It's the crystal ball that none of us have right now and living with what we've come to live with for the past 2 years, really. The last theme that I know you've all been discussing as a team this week. And I think, you know, if you've listened to the podcast this year, you should know the answer to this one. And that's just around the disruptions that we've seen and these disruptive growth trends that we're seeing. Do we see any end in sight for this? When we consider all of these macro events that we've just discussed?
Yeah, Erica, not in this decade. And it certainly is a theme and something that I've talked about continuously. We are early in these disruptions. We are still early when it comes to digital payments or streaming media or individualized medicine or high quality food or mobile banking or even in e-commerce in areas that have been around for a couple of decades. Think back to the 90s when trends were running deep back then. You looked at things like PC penetration for, you know, companies like Microsoft and Intel and where we were then, or e-commerce for companies like Amazon, or globalized American brands for companies like Coca-Cola and Johnson & Johnson, or even big box stores, Walmart and Home Depot. Those were new big disruptions back in the late 80s, early 90s, and they had a long tail to them. They went on for years, if not decades, again, because of the efficiencies they provide, and because of the productivity gains that can be garnered. Just because the market corrects or rotates or whatever, you don't get rid of your PC. You don't go back to your old hardware store to get a grill. You go back to Home Depot because it's cheaper. And that's really the point. It's better, cheaper, faster. And yes, we are early in these major disruptions. So in spite of all the stuff that the news media will throw to you about every macro issue to have, in spite of the historic issues that we're having in respect to a pandemic, we see through that. We look to the long run and we really believe that we have a long way to go. I would really think at this point, the remainder of the decade to continue to invest and benefit from these disruptions.
Well, I think that's a nice proverbial bow to wrap around our podcast episode here as we're into the holiday season. So I want to say thanks to Alex and Jane for joining us today and every day that they've joined us over the past year. And to all of you for listening in and making this something that we look forward to and we hope you look forward to every Monday as well. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions for our podcast, please contact mampodcasts@macquarie.com or visit the description of our podcast for more information. From all of us here at Macquarie Asset Management, we wish you a happy and healthy holiday season and a prosperous new year. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
This recording is intended for financial professionals and institutional investors only. This is not intended for use with the general public. The views expressed in this podcast represent those of the speaker and are subject to change. Nothing presented should be construed as a recommendation to purchase or sell any security or follow any investment technique or strategy, and does not constitute advice, an advertisement, an invitation, a confirmation, an offer or a solicitation to engage in any investment activity or an offer of any banking or financial service. Throughout this presentation, various securities and companies are referenced. Examples given are for illustrative purposes only and were not chosen based on performance. This is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. All examples herein are for illustrative purposes only, and there can be no assurance that any particular investment objectives will be realized or any investment strategy seeking to achieve such objective will be successful. Past performance is not a reliable indication of future performance. Before acting on any information, you should consider the appropriateness of it with regard to your particular objectives, financial situation and needs, and seek advice. No representation or warranty, expressed or implied, is made as to the accuracy or completeness of the information, opinions, and conclusions presented. In preparing this recording, reliance has been placed without independent verification on the accuracy and the completeness of all information available from external sources. Macquarie Asset Management is the marketing name for the asset management division of Macquarie Group. Investment products and advisory services are distributed and offered by and referred through affiliates, which include Delaware Distributors LP, a registered broker-dealer and member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and Macquarie Investment Management Business Trust, a Securities and Exchange Commission registered investment advisor. Investment advisory services are provided by a series of Macquarie Investment Management Business Trusts. Other than Macquarie Bank Limited, none of the entities noted in this podcast are authorized deposit-taking institutions for the purposes of the Banking Act of 1959 from the Commonwealth of Australia. The obligations of these entities do not represent deposits or other liabilities of Macquarie Bank Limited. Macquarie Bank Limited does not guarantee or otherwise provide assurance in respect of the obligations of these entities unless noted otherwise.